It ain't the left side or the right side, then it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side.
Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode of On the Fin Side with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, the FinFanatic.com website, and the FanSided Network as well. The Dolphins are 1-0, and they are the only team in the AFC East that is 1-0 today because the Bills lost to the Steelers, and really not a lot of people were expecting that. The Jets lost to the Panthers in Sam Darnold's revenge game, and the Dolphins took down the Patriots there in Foxborough. And with 3 minutes left in the game, Paul, Xavien Howard punches the ball out from Damian Harris. The Dolphins recover, get a first down, end up taking home the win. And as a special treat, you were able to go to the Dolphins-Patriots game here today. Made the hour and a half drive there and hour and a half drive back. So I would have felt terrible for you if this was a 19-17 Dolphins loss.
Dude, it was sure looking like it was going to be. I mean, and we literally made it just in time. I mean, I know I told our listeners the other day, I coached two games this morning, and we actually had one run over, our second one ran over a little bit, which had me quaking, so... Got to give the kids the victory post-game speech, hop in the car, and haul my little butt up to Foxborough, take the kid to his first game ever, which he's going to his second game for the MetLife Takeover later this year. But no, it was good energy up there, and you can feel a dramatic shift in the Pats fans' view of the Dolphins right now as well. There were a lot of fans talking about how they see what Miami's built down there. They see what Miami's still building down there. And they're kind of admitting that there may be a power shift on the way in the AFC East at this point. Attention, listeners across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston. Do we have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with their Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like you're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20. Ready for an out-of-this-world experience, fellas? Look no further than the Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped that has just taken off not only in the USA but Canada, the UK, across Europe, Australia, South Africa, and Singapore. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your whole solar system. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. For a clean Trinity and beyond, your space balls will thank you.
I couldn't imagine being there because the game itself felt like it was like 6 hours long. Especially in the second half. I mean, this was a game that we knew was going to be tough for the Dolphins, and the Patriots felt the exact same way. You know, when you take a look at what happened here, Xavien Howard punches the ball out with 3 minutes left. A lot of people might argue that this game shouldn't have been that close to begin with. I mean, the Dolphins were up 7-0 very early. First drive of the game, go right down the field, 80 yards. Tua has a 3-yard touchdown run right into the end zone. And the Dolphins have the ball back just the next drive at the New England 45. And they just stall for what seemed like two quarters on the offensive side of the ball. At this point of the season, a win is a win, and no other team in the AFC East can make that same claim.
No, and the Bills one, as you mentioned, was a total shocker for me. I mean, then again, I should have thought about the fact that I don't think Ben Roethlisberger's arm strength is going to hold up for an entire season. I know I've talked about that before. So I'm glad he got that Bills win knocked out of the way here, because the Steelers don't scare me down the stretch. They really don't. And I know I haven't gotten to look at all the highlights between, you know, all the coaching and going to the game today. But there were a few surprises around the NFL today. Green Bay getting smacked in the mouth. The Texans with a dominating win.
Yeah, you know more than you think. The Texans absolutely steamrolled the Jaguars today. It's not like the Jaguars are this juggernaut, but I mean,
they're actually an NFL team, unlike what you would think looking at the Texans roster.
Yeah, see, just when you think Tyrod Taylor is about to fall off the face of the earth, he comes back and lays down a 37 spot against an NFL team.
Apparently, he's
funny.
You just don't stab the guy in the lungs and he can win games for you.
Apologies to our medical experts out there. If you're a medical expert, our advice is don't stab people. moving on.
Hey, Sam Darnold with the big W today.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, when you surround him with Christian McCaffrey and DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, he can do some incredible things. Yeah, NFL type talent, he can do some pretty decent things. Zach Wilson played a little bit more decent down the stretch. You know, he's a rookie, et cetera. But Jets lost. That's pretty much all you need to know. So the Dolphins did not lose, and I come away with a couple of things in this game. First, I think the Dolphins are extremely tough-minded. When you take a look here, just really at the last, not only the last year, but over the last 2 years. I mean, back in 2019, they came back. You know, the second half of the year, they were over 500 in 2019, which nobody thought would happen. They were 10-6 last year, which nobody thought would happen. They go down to New England this year, and they're 3.5-point underdogs, and they win. Yes, Paul.
You said nobody thought would happen. I love every time you say that, because I'm pretty sure my exact season prediction last year was 10-6.
Yeah, mine was 7-9. typically you predict double digit wins every year though. So that's not really fair. Not
every year. I've predicted below double digits. God, we've been doing this for a while. I know I've predicted below double digits a few times.
God, I hate predictions. So let's look at the game here too. Position by position at quarterback, Tua, 16 for 27, 202 yards, two passing touchdowns, one interception, and a rushing touchdown as well early on. So on the stat sheet, looked like a very good game. He also had some passes that kind of flailed a little bit. I mean, there were two passes that he threw that were a complete abomination that I talked about earlier. That I talked about on Twitter. And I got absolutely creamed for him, but people can't take criticism with Tua. Come on, Dolphins fans, toughen up a little bit here. Okay. I mean, look, Tua had a good game. He was 16 for 27, two touchdowns, an interception, but he had two really bad passes. One, he was trying to get the ball out of bounds. He fell back, didn't have the arm strength to get the ball out of bounds, and it was picked off by Jonathan Jones. And then there was another pass that was batted around as well that should have been picked off as well. So, but at the end of the day, nothing glaring as far as anything that cost the Dolphins the game. So at the quarterback position, Paul, I'm going to give Tua and the quarterback position a B- here. And I'm going to say one more thing too. I hate when they take Tua off the field. Stop doing it.
Yeah, I don't want to see Jacoby Brissett on the field except in mop-up duty. I did think Tua played okay today. I was right with you on that B- grade. It looked early like it was going to be more than that, but yeah, he's got to at the end of the day, Tua has to spread the ball around a bit better amongst wide receivers on this team. I know they weren't all on the field at times, but Miami kept, what, 6-7 wide receivers at this point, and on the stat sheet, Albert Wilson had 2 targets, I think, with no receptions, and then everything else at the wide receiver position went to Devontae Parker and Jalen Waddle, and Mike Gesicki wasn't even really heavily factored into the passing game today.
Right. Mike Gesicki, no catches. Albert Wilson, no catches today.
4 targets.
Yeah. Crazy. Jalen Waddle, 4 for 61 and a touchdown. Devontae Parker, 4 for 81, no touchdowns. But 3 of those were slants, and Tua did see those passes early. So good for him for having the football IQ to see those slants. 3 of them to Devontae Parker, which were very big passes in this game. He also threw kind of a Randy Moss type of pass to him a little bit earlier for a 20-plus yard reception too. So those were good there. At the running back position, you know, Myles Gaskin, first drive, 4 rushes or 5 rushes for 27 yards. And then it's almost like they completely abandoned the ground game. Savon Ahmed, you know, we've been talking about him a lot. 3 carries for 4 yards throughout the game. Only 1 missed tackle forced by the Dolphins running backs, too, according to Pro Football Focus. So, you know, it kind of leads into the idea that the Dolphins running backs take what's given to them. You know, they're good players. Savon Ahmed's a good player. Miles Gaskin's a good player. Malcolm Brown got on the field in crunch time and grinded out the clock and had some pretty decent runs. But overall, you know, nothing that sticks out. So I'm going to go a C-plus with this running back group.
I'm going to stick with you on that as well. I thought Savon Ahmed had a couple of good catches in this one. Miles Gaskin had almost 5.5 yards of carry on 9 carries. And I think they really could have taken this game away by including him a little bit more. You know, it's – would you say it was 1 missed tackle, I think?
Yeah, 1 missed tackle forced by Dolphins running backs here, according to Pro Football Focus, on 17 carries.
Right.
Which is
– yeah. What I want to say about that, though, is you take Malcolm Brown out of the mix because he doesn't miss tackles. His job is to try to run over people. So take him out of the mix. That's 5 carries. You've got 12 carries between Gaskin and Ahmed, and I'm pretty sure it was Gaskin that had that one broken tackle. And
yeah, he did.
It's, you know, 1 broken tackle on 13 carries is not a horrific number, especially when Gaskin averaged 5.5 yards a carry, or almost 5.5. I mean, it's yeah. You've got to utilize your ground game more, and that's only going to help Tua not have to force the ball into tight windows because they have to account for the running game.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And we know what Gaskin is. He's a good player at this point. I mean, he overall 75 total yards. I mean, that's good. It's especially against a defense like the Patriots.
I'm going to go to a B minus, actually, just thinking about the 5 receptions as well for Gaskin. I mean, it's the fault with the running back room really wasn't on them. It was just the game plan to get away from it, especially when they were trying to protect the lead.
Yeah, it doesn't look pretty on paper. But also, two of my favorite runs of the game were when the Dolphins were trying to just line up and get a first down after the Xavien Howard recovered, or after the Xavien Howard punch out recovered by Landon Roberts, where Malcolm Brown, 5-yard carry, tough power run inside, as well as a 4-yard run right after that, that made it 3rd and 1. And then they brought Jacoby Brissett on the field and did a quarterback sneak. I hated it, but it won the game. So that's all I'm going to say right now. Wide receiver, tight end. I'm going to throw it to you on that first, Paul.
This is a weird one to grade. I mean, I know I already talked about the fact that Wilson and Gesicki were barely even targeted in this game. I didn't feel like they got a tremendous amount of separation at times at the wide receiver position. I felt like Tua was having to throw into some tight windows. But again, by completely abandoning the run game, it doesn't help. I loved what I saw from Jalen Waddle in his first ever NFL game, which we do have to factor in as well, given the fact that he had the 4 for 61 and a touchdown, which was a tough touchdown to get. It was a beautiful play by him. There were a few jump balls I felt Miami could have done a better job of winning. But again, it's they had limited opportunity, just like our running back room. I mean, Miami has a defense that can hold teams to 16 points, but you really should be averaging more than 17 points with all the weapons that you have on this offense. So I'll go with... I'm going to go with a C for the receiver room, though, because I don't feel like enough guys really got involved. And whether it's one of your five tight ends, whether it's or four that could address for this game, whether it's from your receiver room, I mean, I felt like the running backs were almost more of a factor than the receivers in the passing game.
And I'm not sure if you saw what I did too, but I saw number 82, Seathan Carter, out there a lot. Like, I'm talking, I look forward to seeing what this snap count is tomorrow when PFF puts that out. It looked like he got like 35 to 40 snaps. And when I look at Seathan Carter, I think that's too many for him.
Yeah.
For a team that has Jakeem Grant and has Jalen Waddle and has Devontae Parker, I understand the value of having a tight end that can play more in line, but not at that capacity, you know, especially when you have Seathan Carter, who's been out of training camp and out of the preseason the entire month of August.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's... If you told me leading up to today, if you told me right up to 4:24 Eastern that Seathan Carter was going to appear to be more involved in the offense than Mike Gesicki today, I would have laughed at you almost as hard as I would have if you told me that the Texans were going to come out and dominate the Jaguars. It just, I would have just looked at you and said, yeah, okay. You know, you're trying a little too hard to outsmart people at that point. There's nothing with Seathan Carter that screams that he should be getting that many snaps at this point in time. Now, if you put him on the field for a couple of plays and he does something mind-blowing, let's ride the hot hand and see where it goes. But
yeah,
to design it that way and do so when he literally has no mitigating factors that make you go, ooh, okay, he came today. Like, it's I don't see anything on the stat sheet right now other than maybe the snap count bit tomorrow that would lead me to believe that Seathan Carter being on the field was an asset.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Especially when you have like three Seathan Carters on the team. Seathan Carter and Adam Shaheen and Durham Smythe, Hunter Long. To me, they're pretty much the same player.
Not true. You know, two are better versions of Seathan Carter.
Yeah. And something that's been said in our chat a little bit and said on Twitter with anything I've posted that I want to make clear is, hey, the Dolphins are 1-0. Be happy. Hey.
We are.
No, yes, I am happy the Dolphins are 1-0, but let's get something clear too. It doesn't mean that the Dolphins are perfect. It doesn't mean that they're, you know, we should avoid criticism when it comes to them. I'm very happy the Dolphins are 1-0. They're the only team in the AFC East that is 1-0. So I'm very happy about that. Offensive line, not a pretty situation. Austin Jackson at left tackle did not play. Liam Eikenberg got out there, had two really ugly plays, one a penalty and one he was steamrolled by Josh Uche, which we talked about a little bit before the show. But I got to give a little bit of the benefit of the doubt to Liam Eikenberg. I thought he, in terms of getting out of a stance quickly, everything he showed at Notre Dame, I thought he kind of looked the part at left tackle. And I think Austin Jackson is going to come back and start, but I didn't hate everything he did.
No, I thought he did well, especially given that this was his first NFL game and he was not projected to start until a few days ago. And even then it was a question mark. So he was playing a little out of position from where he had been all preseason. He was injured for part of the preseason. And other than being treated like a human in a pinball machine on that one play by Uche, I thought he actually did well. And quite frankly, I had less question marks watching him play than I've had watching Austin Jackson play all preseason.
Very well said. And also on some of those bigger runs the Dolphins had today, that there weren't too many, but Robert Hunt does a great job of sealing inside. And I'm looking forward to – he's the one player on the offensive line I'm excited about. Michael Dieter got his first start at center today, and he did okay. I mean, and that's really all I can ask about him at the center spot. I mean, if you're telling me he is a middle-of-the-pack center on a rookie contract, then I think that's good. You know, that's better than – you know, sinking a first or second round pick into a center or paying a lot of money to him.
Yeah, no, I think overall Miami's offensive line played decent today. There were a lot of times, and you and I talked about this, where I felt like Tua had a fairly clean pocket to pass from and took a little too long to make a decision and then turned it into a runaround game and had to use his legs. And you know, were there some plays that the line gave up? Absolutely. Were there some plays where guys were out of position? Absolutely. But, you know, when you've got Jesse Davis, who literally just took over a starting job a few years ago, Robert Hunt and Solomon Kinley, both in their second season ever in the NFL, Liam Eichenberg, a rookie, second-round pick, and Michael Dieter, who's been, you know, basically a practice squad detainee at times over the past couple of years. It's encouraging to see a lot of the factors if you look beyond just what happened in this game, but you look at where these guys are at developmentally for the future. And there's a lot to like. Now, a weird thing for me was seeing Greg Little be inactive today as far as
that. Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Greg Little was inactive, and Noah Igbinoghi was a healthy scratch today. He was also inactive.
Well, he's a healthy scratch when he is active. So
that's not good. That's not good there. But also, in fairness, if the Dolphins didn't have so many great cornerbacks, he probably would have been active.
Right. He'd be active on a lot of rosters around the NFL.
Yeah, yes, he would. And that – still kind of stings, but yeah, absolutely. On the defensive side of the ball, Craig Sebring in the chat brought up that was the roughing the passer call on Landon Roberts was BS. Yes, it was. And Landon Roberts on defense was a monster today. I mean, he was firing into the gaps every opportunity that he got.
Mm-hmm. And he was picking right.
Yeah, I mean, that if you do a just watch a replay of him just blowing up the running back in the hole, getting to Mac Jones, and then he was pushed from behind into Mac Jones, that should not have been called. And it was a major, major play. And then on the next play, Nelson Aguilar caught a 7-yard touchdown to completely swing the momentum of the game at the time. So yeah, I mean, Landon Roberts, kudos to him, somebody we've been critical about, but certainly not at this point. Also, on the front seven, Raekwon Davis gets hurt early, but I don't think he got back on the field, but it didn't look like a major injury either.
No, and I just want to go back to that roughing the passer call, because it was bogus. I mean, whether he was pushed or not, he did hit above the knee pad when he made initial contact. And I know that by rule, it's forcibly hitting in the knee area or below a passer who has one or both feet on the ground. But this, even if the initial contact is above the knee, piece of that rule has to go. Like, because if you slide down on a player or what have you, it's... you're not putting that forcible contact in play on these guys that's causing those injuries that this rule was put in place to mitigate.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Emmanuel Ogba had a couple of big plays here today too. One was, I'm not sure if he got credit for the sack, but he certainly should have. And then he also batted down a couple of passes too. So he's certainly hungering for that contract extension. Zach Sealer, I thought, had a phenomenal game. I mean, just really pushing forward. I mean, on a down-to-down basis, I felt like he was the most disruptive player on that front seven.
And we've talked so much about him and the fact that at some point, I mean, yes, he is a partial starter, but he should really unseat Christian Wilkins at this point. If you put everything aside, dollars to donuts, our best front three at the moment is Zach Sealer, Raekwon Davis, if he's healthy, and Emmanuel Ogba. Now, another guy I thought had a really good game, even though it's not going to pack a stat sheet, and that was John Jenkins. He seemed to be all over the field and making plays, pushing the pocket, making plays almost sideline to sideline, which for a guy his size is tremendous. And he really made an argument for extended playing time moving forward.
Right. And when you look at what the Dolphins are trying to do on defense, they want to keep three down defensive linemen consistently. Yep. And that's why it was such a good idea for John Jenkins to be kept on this roster. He's not going to be flashy, but, you know, once Raekwon Davis went down, my initial gut reaction was, what the heck are we going to do in order to maintain that? And, well, we have John Jenkins. And Jenkins did a serviceable job, and that's all we can expect from him, from somebody who's 31 years old, doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of money, and can really plug things up on the inside.
He played like a player that does make a decent salary today. He really did. He played like an important cog on this defensive unit, and I think he's earned some extended snaps moving forward when the opportunity presents itself.
Yeah, in 2019, you know, that throwaway season for the Dolphins, he played fantastic. I mean, I was disappointed when the Dolphins didn't bring him back for 2020. But I'm glad he's back with him now. I mean, just a prototypical guy that you want in your locker room who just fills a role. That's it. And is active on game day and can do a good job. Jalen Phillips got on the field today too and played a lot of snaps. And I don't think he looked bad. You know, he's got to improve on some things. But, you know, if you're looking for somebody who's going to just whip around the edge like Cameron Wake, and kind of backside the quarterback and go back, he's not that type of guy. You know, he's more of somebody who can stack and shed at offensive tackles, and he's not going to have a very big sack number from year to year. And you know, that I think that's important for Dolphins fans to understand. And it's his first NFL game. But overall, I don't think he looked bad.
No, he looked okay. I mean, in reality, he was overshadowed by a lot of other guys along that the defensive line. And one of our listeners in chat actually brought up the fact that the Patriots do have a very good offensive line. A lot of outlets are talking about it as one of the top five offensive lines in football. And while Miami didn't translate in the sack numbers today, I love that you brought up the Ogba thing. I still would love an explanation for why he wasn't credited with a sack on that strip of Mac Jones early is beyond me. I think it's going to be one of those adjusted stats moving forward in this game. But really, I thought the front four or three, depending on the moment, did a great job of putting pressure on Mac Jones religiously today, even though Mac unfortunately seemed to handle the pressure pretty well.
Yeah, the Patriots really embody along their offensive line what I've talked about of in the NFL, I don't think it's as important to have dominant players on your offensive line. You just can't have any weak links. And the Patriots don't have any weak links. You know, Isaiah Wynn, Michael Nwenu, David Andrews, Shaq Mason, Trent Brown missed a quarter today from an injury, but they're good players across the board. They're not a Quentin Nelson. They're not a Zach Martin, but they're good players. And that makes it hard for opposing defenses to go against them. So yeah, I think the Dolphins. I mean, if I were grading the Patriots roster, it would be an A all the way on their offensive line.
I wouldn't give them an A for today's game, but their overall ability, I'd give an A. I mean, Mac took a lot of hits in this game. Yes, they made some running lanes for predominantly Damian Harris in this one, but overall, I felt like they allowed a tremendous amount of pressure, even though it didn't translate to a tremendous amount of sacks. I think Agba even had the sole pass defense along the defensive line. But, I mean, it was a big, egregious one where he was in Mac's face. So
Mac Jones did get – he got hit a lot today. But I would argue that it wasn't because the Dolphins were getting good pressure or the Patriots offensive line was playing poorly. I thought Mac Jones stood in the pocket. He knew when to release the football. And when he did that, he was able to connect a lot of the time. He was 29 for 39 today. And I don't think the Dolphins played bad defense really that much. They should have played a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage for their defensive backs. But other than that, no, I thought their line did really well. And I thought they were really in sync too.
I don't know. Somebody brought up in our chat that Mac was asked about the number of hits he took in this game. He said he didn't take any big ones. It's not necessarily about taking the big hit. A lot of folks get tied up in this whole, you know, you got jacked up era, where really it's not always about the big blasting hit. Like, if you've got somebody getting hands on you, play in and play out, that is a huge factor as well.
And Carrie in our chat said, Flo out, Belichick, fewer turnovers, fewer penalties, made the play when they had to. That's very well said. Damian Harris, even though he fumbled at the end, had 100 yards exactly, 23 carries, 100 yards. The Dolphins need to tighten up a little bit on their run defense. But I'd also say, too, Paul, on a down-to-down basis, I don't think their run defense did all that badly. I mean, no. Damian Harris had that 35-yard run on, what, the first play of the game? And then if you take that out of the equation, you're talking about, what, 22 carries for 65 yards? So, not bad.
No, not at all. And Agent 21 actually asked in chat, and I want to bring this up, just because we're talking about offensive lines and things like that. I guess Flo, when he was asked after the game about starting Liam Eikenberg, he basically just came out and gave a very Flo-like answer and said, I wanted to start the best five offensive linemen. I don't know that Flores considers Eikenberg better than Austin Jackson, even if our eyes were pretty well open today with that. I think, given the fact that Austin Jackson missed the week, Flo views it as Liam Eikenberg was the most prepared for this game among the top five offensive linemen. I think that gave him the nudge over Austin Jackson.
Yeah, and like I said, I think Eikenberg looks the part for that. And I don't see the technical refinement from Austin Jackson even in year two here, and that's what bothers me. But overall, this Dolphins offensive line just needs to be middle of the pack, and if they are, then I think the Dolphins are going to be able to spread the field out on the offensive side of the ball with these wide receivers to get the ball out of Tua's hands quickly. So Paul, we talked about the front seven for a while here. Overall, I can't give them higher than a C, though, to be honest with it. They didn't force enough pressure. They didn't stop the run very effectively. I mean, yeah, if you take out Damian Harris's 35-yard run, it looks better, but not enough push. So I'm going to go with a C.
Yeah, if we're talking about the entirety of the front seven, I'll go with a C-plus on this one. There was a lot that I liked. You brought up Landon Roberts. I think Jerome Baker was put in position to be out of position a lot. I don't think they had their best day in pass coverage from the linebacking unit today. I saw a lot of times where Baker was a step or two slow on a route. Andrew Van Ginkel gave up that touchdown in his zone coverage, being tremendously out of position and misreading the play. So I can go with a C-plus here. And like you said, I didn't think their run coverage was abysmal. There was the one big run in this game.
Yeah. That was the big one. And James White also did a lot of damage in the passing game. Six catches for 48 yards. One time he stacked Jerome Baker on one of those catches too. Carrie in our chat asked, what an astute question here. What is the arm length difference between Austin Jackson and Liam Eichenberg? Because people are dying to know that, and I'm gonna answer that. Austin Jackson, 34 1/8 inch. Liam Eichenberg, 32 1/2. So that's kind of the difference, whether that matters or not.
What's Ethan Carter, Cat?
Ethan Carter. Jeez. I don't know. Ethan Carter was drafted though, so I never dug into that. But he did play a lot of football today. There's no doubt about that. Defensive back, Xavien Howard. Over the last 39 games, Xavien Howard has 22 interceptions and 2 forced fumbles. And if you include the Pro Bowl game that he played in, he had another interception. So actually, over the last 40 games, 23 interceptions, 2 forced fumbles if you include the Pro Bowl game. Of course, nobody does, but bottom line, this guy is an unbelievable playmaker, and I love every day more and more. Probably my favorite thing about this team is seeing Byron Jones and Xavien Howard at cornerback.
Yeah, I can get behind that. And another thing, too, while Miami didn't force any interceptions today, Jason McCourty, Byron Jones, they both defended passes and played tremendous today, I thought. They forced a lot of incompletions on passes they didn't defend. And one of those unheralded stats here is Eric Rowe, Xavien Howard, and Javon Holland in this game all forced fumbles, and Xavien Howard recovered one that we've already talked about. So, I mean, when they're not making interceptions, they're in there causing turnovers anyhow. And some people will argue that it's, you know, oh yeah, you happen to hit the guy fumbles the ball. That's not what you see with Miami's defense. You see with Miami's defense, there is always a hand once they control the runner or control the receiver that is going in trying to rip the ball out of their hands over and over and over and over again. And that's what you saw with Eric Rowe today. That's what you saw with Xavien Howard punching that ball out. That's what you saw with Javon Holland. I mean, and really, Byron Jones could also be credited with that forced fumble early on that should have been a sack from Mac Jones. So, I mean, that's literally just going across the secondary and saying, hey, everybody caused an individual fumble today, which you start causing those. The more you cause, the more opportunities you have to win games.
Right, and there's a reason why the Dolphins have gone 23 games in a row with forcing a turnover. As of today, no doubt about it. In our chat, Zombie Finn said, "Cat has an arm length fetish." You have no idea.
I have an idea.
But Jason McCourty, yeah, I'm with you. I was never the biggest Jason McCourty fan, but I thought he played really well today. Eric Rowe continues to play really well when he's not facing Darren Waller or Travis Kelce. So hopefully he steps up in a couple weeks when the Dolphins play the Raiders. But and what I like too is that it's kind of like with the offensive line, where at defensive back, sometimes you're as good as your weakest link. And the Dolphins don't really have a lot of weak links.
I was going to say, do we have any of those? Like,
I may have phrased that incorrectly, but they really don't have any weak links when you look at it. I mean, Nick Needham, he played a good game, and when he didn't, you know, it was more of a zone type of thing as opposed to, well, the guy made a mistake or got beat. So, yeah, I mean, I'm overall impressed with the defensive back spot, but the elephant in the room is Mac Jones went 29 for 39 for 281 yards, had a quarterback rating of over 100. What I saw, Paul, I thought Kevin Coyle kind of stepped into the press box at a certain time, you know? The Dolphins cornerbacks were playing way too far off the football.
They were, but in reality, I felt like a lot of those completions also came over the linebacking unit. And we do have to factor that in as well. I don't have a huge worry about the secondary. The secondary is tremendous, and the one weak link I can think of was a healthy scratch for this game. So
yeah,
take that for what you will.
Yeah, no, Noah is about to be flipped for a seventh rounder or something, man. It's not getting pretty with him. I mean, this is starting to look like a major, major bust. Noah's got to turn it around here. But he's also 21 years old, and he's got the rest of the season. So let's hope things get a little bit better. Jamal Perry was brought up to the team today and was on the active roster, which tells you all that you need to know here.
Well, actually, the best part about that, and I wanted to bring this up, so I'm glad you did, because I moved to next in my head. Yes, for all our listeners, by the way, Phillips did play today. He wasn't a huge factor, but he didn't look terrible, which is what you can ask for a rookie in his first NFL action. I was mildly entertained looking at the box score that Jamal Perry was now Jamal Wiltz again on NFL.com. So the witness protection program continues as far as that goes.
He's definitely avoiding somebody. And I'm pretty sure Jamal is spelled differently, or was a couple of years ago. I think it was
J-O-M-A-L. That's how they listed him on NFL.com for the box score.
Yeah. Today. Yeah. He might be a secret genius. You know, he's just dodging tax returns here. Anyway, so defensive back. I'm going to go with a C plus, but ooh. I'm going to go with a C plus because I can't, you know, absolve that Mac Jones went 29 for 39 for 281 yards and a touchdown. But I think it's more of a scheme thing with what happened today and what the problem was. So I'm confident moving forward that the Dolphins cornerbacks are going to play further up to the line of scrimmage, do more bump and run, and not allow quarterbacks to have a rating over 100 moving forward.
Yeah. You and I are going to disagree on this one, Kat. And I know you love when that happens. Given the fact that I saw a lot of the receptions going over the linebacking unit, the fact that the secondary forced three fumbles, including the game-sealing fumble forced and recovered by Xavien Howard, and, you know, there was a lot to like in this one from these guys. I'm actually going with an A- for the DBs. Even with Mac completing those passes, he did complete some good ones, but in reality, I mean, the fact that a lot of it came over those guys, the fact that there were multiple turnovers, the fact that I thought Byron played very well, and I didn't feel like the secondary was a weak link in any way. One thing I would have loved to see, and I think would have helped force some interceptions for the secondary in today's game, was something we talked about in our pregame coverage, which was I didn't feel like Miami used that drunk psycho defense enough in today's game, facing a rookie quarterback in his NFL debut. You know, masking and disguising coverages by moving guys around, it felt like Miami took a step back to before they became this unit that they really should be right now. And I think that helped Mac Jones a lot today because he didn't have to make as difficult a reads.
I 100% agree with you on that. That I was looking to see that, as Joe Rose called it, that dancing seven that dancing front seven where they're moving all around and it's really unpredictable of where the blitz is going to come from or if they're even coming with a blitz. I didn't see much of that unpredictability today as much as I mean, I wish they would have shown more of that throughout the game because I thought if they did, they would have creamed Mac Jones. That was his first NFL start, you know?
And that was a big part of my prediction for this game was I thought that Dancing Seven was going to be the factor in this game. And I'll take it a step further. Rather than seeing the Dancing Seven where you don't know who's coming or from where, I saw Miami today when they were blitzing, running up and doing that, you know, seventh grade football move where you run up and you tap the defensive tackle on the hip that you're going to, which any NFL offensive lineman worth their salt is going to go, oh, all right, cool. Thanks for letting me know you're coming here. I'm going to smack you in the mouth when you come in at me full speed.
Absolutely. Special teams, not much else to say. I'm going to give them a B, or I'm going to go B+. I mean, Jason Sanders nails a 48-yard field goal. Jakeem Grant returns one punt for 18 yards. That's good. And Michael Pilardi really is only, you know, blame in this game here is that he you know, had a short field and kicked it to the end zone and for a touchback instead of pinning the Patriots deep. So, really, no complaints. I'm going to go with a B+.
Yeah, that field goal would have been good from about 68 or 72 yards. Sanders hit it deep, true, and with way too much leg for the 48 yards it had to go. And it was, and this is something that I know a lot of folks may not realize, it was a windy day up here in New England. And that stadium is a wind tunnel that can do strange things with the wind as it blows through. So seeing him hit that 48 yarder was huge in this one, and knowing what the wind was like and knowing what that stadium's like, I can give the special teams unit an A- here.
Fair enough. So what everybody wants to know is who is your player of the game and who is your Coke bus player of the game, Paul?
X has to be the player of the game here. That's an easy one for me. As far as my Coke bus player of the game, which for those of our we haven't explained the Coke bus for all of our new listeners since last year. So the Coke bus is something we came up with, and we'll say it's Coca-Cola, but in reality, it's something that happened years ago when Miami was playing players that had no business being on an NFL field. And given the fact that I believe it was Adam Gase at the time, Kat, was it
yeah. Gase?
Seemed to see things in these players that no one else could, including the Penguin at left guard, who spent more time on his belly missing everybody than anything else.
Yeah, that was Joe Philbin.
Oh, it was Philbin. Okay.
Anyway.
But it's basically we came up with the idea that since the coaching staff wasn't going to get these guys off the field, we were very hopeful that some lovely do-well police officer would pull them over and we'll go with plant a Coca-Cola bottle in their vehicle to at least get them out of the game before the next week. So for me, Coke Bus Player of the Game, I have to go with Mike Gesicki for being completely uninvolved in this one and a non-factor. Considering what we saw from him in the preseason, all the expectations, seeing him in a contract year, and he couldn't carve enough of a role that he wasn't even on the field as much as we would have expected.
You took both of my guys there. So my player of the game was X, and my Coke Bus player is Mike Gesicki for the exact same reasons. So I'm going to switch it up here. My player of the game is going to be Landon Roberts because I thought he was an absolute missile on the inside. And
right to the knees.
He wasn't – yeah. He fell down to the knees. You know, if you're going to get down to the knees, you know, you might as well.
I thought you were going to go Gaskin since I took
rip something out if he's going to do that. But yeah, Atlanta Roberts was a missile on just it, not just the sack that should have brought the Patriots back almost out of field goal range, but there were two or three plays that he just did a phenomenal job shooting up inside.
We don't want our players shooting up. This is not the 90s Cowboys.
Yeah. My Coke bus player of the game. I'm probably going to wish I'd said somebody different here toward the end, but kind of for the same reason that you said with Mike Gesicki, I'm going to say Albert Wilson. I mean, Albert Wilson got some separation on a deep pass from Tua, and a perfect Tua pass would have gotten him a touchdown on that. It would have been about a 30-yard touchdown. But other than that, it was a complete non-factor. No catches. Zero catches after everything we talked about this offseason with Albert Wilson and how we're so happy he's back and how involved he's going to be in the offense. Zero catches, just like Mike Gesicki. So, but – overall, extremely happy the Dolphins come away with the win, Paul. I'm glad you got to see it here today with Axel. And, I mean, anything else that you want to point out here from what you saw there in Foxborough?
No, there's a lot to be optimistic about, though, for this team here. And, by the way, I just want to mention real quick before I dive any more into that, make sure you guys go to DolphinsNYC.com. We have the link down below. Get in on the MetLife takeover while they still have tickets left at the discounted rates. I will be there. It will be a tremendous ton of fun. I'll actually be there for their pre-party the night before. The fact that they have Joe Rose come out and do his show from the tailgate. A lot of the beat writers that you may or may not love from South Florida usually pop out and say hello. Tom Garfinkel, we've had the Marx Brothers out there, Duper and Clayton, before. Sam Madison's come and chilled out at the tailgate and hung out with us. You can just name down a list of names as far as the Dolphins faithful go. And you get to come watch a game with a huge number of Dolphins fans right up at MetLife Stadium facing off against a, well, not really NFL caliber offensive line. In that game, at least as far as it looks right now, with Mekhi Becton possibly still out at that point, depending on how bad this MCL sprain is that it looks like he suffered today.
Yeah, could be a Jets not only lost, but could lose Mekhi Becton for a little while. The Bills got absolutely creamed in the second half by a Steelers team we didn't think was any good and may not be any good. So
it might not be down the stretch anyway.
If you look at the AFC East, it is much better to be in the Dolphins situation right now. And that's going to do it for our show here. You can follow Paul and I on Brian Catt NFL on Twitter. He is Fanatic_pick. Follow us also on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, the FinFanatic.com website, as well as the FanSided Network as well. Thank you all for joining us here tonight. I know it's late, but we want to get on here and be sure to spread the joy here for this 17-16 Dolphins win. And I'll tell you this, and I'll leave you with this, everyone. If the Dolphins beat the Buffalo Bills next week and they go to 2-0, things change. The Dolphins get a lot of attention here over the next couple of weeks. So let's root for that here. And that's going to do it here. And have a good night.